Hello, everyone. Happy Monday or happy whichever day it is that you're listening to the show. Episode 51 here, and it is a beautiful day here in Perth, WA. I hope that wherever you are, that you are having a great day, a great evening, great morning. And today's a special episode because I've got a guest on the show. So that's super exciting. I always love having guests on the show. And if you'd like to be a guest on my show, you can just follow the link in the podcast description below. Now, today with me, I have Anita Anello. And Anita helps corporate women of faith in the tech industry who wants to break free of corporate life and develop a consulting business by providing spiritual guidance and support as they transition in a new phase of their career. She offers practical advice and resources to help them establish and grow their consulting business, such as tips for building a client base, setting rates, and finding a healthy work-life balance as they work towards their goal of working 20 hours a week while making 2 to 3 times their previous income. Now, it's my absolute pleasure to have Anita here today, and I cannot wait for you to listen into the conversation that I had with Anita. Anita's in Texas, I'm in WA in Perth, and it was just, we felt like all friends connecting. So before we jump into the episode, grab your coffee or tea or your favorite beverage and just get ready to listen in, but also grab your notebook and pen because Anita gives a lot of strategic tips, tactical tips and tricks that you can start implementing straight away. And at the end of the episode, please listen in. Anita also gives you a way that you can connect with her, as she will guide you through if you're interested in also connecting with Anita as a corporate woman of faith who is looking to break free from the corporate environment. Let's jump in. I can't wait for you to listen. Leading as a woman is tough, but leading as a woman of faith is next level. However, it doesn't have to be that way. God has called you into this leadership role because He says you are worthy. You are His child, and if He qualifies you, who in this world can unqualify you? You might suffer from imposter syndrome and believe you're not good enough, but God says you are good enough. Hi, I'm Rika Whelan, Christian leader and workplace culture coach, and together we're going to navigate leadership with faith as our foundation. Let's get started. Grab your coffee or water, keep that notebook and pen handy, and let's jumpstart your leadership. Welcome to the Woman of Faith in Leadership podcast. Anita, I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, Rika, we just have had so much fun already getting started. I feel like I've known you forever already.
Yeah, I love these connections on the podcast and having different guests on. And I mean, you're in Texas, I'm in Perth. That is just worlds apart. And it's just so amazing that COVID has really just brought us all together in that space. So that's really awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah. So why don't you just start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your leadership journey?
So thank you for having me. First of all, I just want to honor you for what you're doing and the way that you are just charging and leading the way to be able to help us as women connect and then just really highlight just leadership skills and leadership journeys along the way. So I just want to start off by thanking you for that. So my leadership journey started many, many years ago, even really before my faith kind of kicked in. I was an executive in the software space for a big global tech company. And part of my journey and part of the journey that I like to tell is I felt like I kind of climbed this corporate ladder and got to the top and was looking around going, is this it? Are you kidding me? I felt like I distinctly remember looking back on those years and feeling like I was kind of choked out because I felt like I was doing all the things to be quote unquote successful, but I was super unhappy. And so I went on a journey of unraveling a lot of just nonsense. And in that, I felt like God just met me and helping me to understand as a woman. So this is kind of the way that I characterize it. I felt like I was so successful in my corporate job. I had the money, the title, the accolades, all the stuff that went around it. But in order to do that, I actually felt like I kind of took off all the female aspects of the way that God designed me, and kind of I was in tech, and so most of my counterparts, a larger percentage of my counterparts were male, and so I just kind of learned to act like them, be like them, like neck and neck. I was still very much a female, but certainly in my goals and my setting and my drive, I'm naturally super driven. But I felt like what the picture that God showed me is I kind of laid down all the things that made me really good as a woman and took on this persona that was not really mine. So my journey inside the corporate space was about 8 years of God kind of unwinding this nonsense. And as I walked on that journey to really unravel this stuff, man, I really started to discover who I was, what my purpose was, and what my next steps were.
That's extremely powerful. And it just goes to show that, you know, God made, I always think about this, God made female and God made man separately from each other. And those two shouldn't be confused because they're separate for a reason. So thank you very much for sharing that. I think it's so valuable for our listeners as well to understand that in the corporate environment, it's always been male dominated. And that is just so powerful what you said about losing yourself. And I think that's extremely valuable for our listeners as well, because, you know, I've shared this with the listeners as well. You know, I've given up my full-time job to pursue entrepreneurship as well. And we'll hear from you in that space soon. But for me, it was, I gave up so much of myself that for a year later, I'm still struggling with the burnout from what I gave up of myself.
Yeah.
So can you share with us, you know, in that space of maybe in the 8 years or maybe after you left your corporate space, what does it mean to be a faith-based leader? What does that mean? And is it even possible?
Yeah, that's a great question. So probably then I'll kind of look at it this way. So like the next part of the journey is as God's kind of unwinding this nonsense that I had in my mind, I'm looking around at all the other ladies around me that are in the corporate space, and they're all kind of acting the same way, like just kind of over-masculinated and tearing each other down and all that kind of stuff. So for me, that's actually part of it. As a woman and a leader and a believer, like those three things together, I feel like God has now taking me full circle and being able to see as a leader and a believer, it means that I serve with integrity. It means that I meet with clients, and with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we try to see the next path. And where, like clients for me, I always see this picture that God gives me that maybe the linear path of going step by step by step seem to be stuck, but the Holy Spirit gives me this picture of kind of like approaching it from a different angle altogether. And so those are those elements. It's being sensitive and being caring, but then also being driven. Like I said earlier, my personality is very driven. Like I love to set goals, have tasks, list all the kind of stuff and get stuff done. That is absolutely part of my personality style. But then also recognizing that my personality style is part of it. I'm also called to be able to use that wisdom and that integrity and that generosity that God has put inside me to go out and serve the audience that I'm called to serve. So see how it's taking what I did learn in the corporate space and still utilizing it, but having a completely different spin in a way that is not just me propping myself up to be able to meet somebody else's goals, somebody else's KPIs. If you've been in the corporate space, you know exactly what KPIs are. You know, those are basically your key performance indicators where your boss or your boss's boss or five levels above you or whatever, wherever you are in that corporate ladder, they tell you this is what's going to determine success. And what we do is we start to take and we shift that. We shift that to show up differently. We shift that to be able to say, as a leader now in my own business, how do I lead a team well? How do I meet my clients well? How do I be able to serve in a manner that's not salesy or yucky or anything like that? And so you can see it's almost, I don't know, it's not like the opposite, but it is the opposite all at the same time. And I don't mean to say like I'm confused in that or anything silly like that. What I mean is that sometimes it's like, it's the nuance of the way that God shifts us to see things through his mind. And that comes from being in community with believers, other believers. It comes from reading God's word. It comes from meditating on, God, what do you want me to do today? And asking, really genuinely asking, because I think as women, Rika, we can have this opportunity at the beginning of every day, regardless of how we're working. I always see this picture of like, I can show up in the morning and have like 100 things I want to accomplish that day. And then I go, no. I can do 20 of them though. And no. And then I'm like, wait a minute. God's like, oh, you're so sweet to think that. And then I'm like, Lord, wait a minute. Can you just show me like the one to maybe three things that I'm supposed to work on today? And that's part of the entrepreneurial journey is figuring out, Lord, how do I like narrow down that funnel so I can actually get something done today that actually adds to the bottom line of my business, that attracts new clients, that serves like all the things that are really important when we're building businesses. Because those things are, the reason I say important is because there's a lot of activities that we can do in our business that don't actually lead to revenue. And the other reason I say that is because if I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I'm not serving my clients or bringing income in, then that's actually more the definition of a hobby than it is a business. And so I just want to make that clear because we want to really shift away from that when we switch from a corporate income to an entrepreneurial income. We really want to have those goals in line so that as leaders in our space, we can show up and really do well and really go after the things that God's shown us.
Can you share, what came to mind was when you just said that, I was like, wow, you'd like talking to me because I can sometimes just do things throughout my day. And then at the end of the day, I was like, what did I actually do? I didn't even speak with one client. I didn't do anything. And that was just such a waste of time. So something that the Lord's really been working through me and something that I've been sharing on the podcast lately is just this leaning back into God's grace and trusting Him on a daily basis for your daily bread. And that's exactly what you just said. So that's just that reaffirmation as well for our listeners that just lean back and trust God on a daily basis, because leadership is a tough journey. It's definitely by no means easy, but it can be better with God on your side if you lean back and trust Him. And now the next question I have for you that just popped up into my mind was, when would you say, you know, like for a listener of the Women of Faith in Leadership, they, you know, currently stuck in corporate jobs or they're in the education space, or I've got some listeners in the health space, how will they know if it's time to step out of that leadership role into, say, potentially an entrepreneurial journey? Because some people think that they don't have anything to offer. They don't, all that they have is what they have, and they don't have the courage to step out into that role. So what would you say to that person?
I think there's two big components that I want to break down a little bit, and I'll just go super high level first and then we'll break them down a bit. So the first two things that I want to think about is there's a linear path that says I'm good at a skill set over there and I can actually reimagine this and give it to the marketplace in a different way, usually for a better income level. That's really powerful, is I am good at a skill. And I'm going to actually, instead of giving all that skill to my corporate employer, I'm going to reimagine what a business could look like and being able to take that skill out into the marketplace and deliver those same services or products on my own. So that's one element of it. The other part is I think it's super important to have a plan to transition over. I'll say perhaps one of the worst things that you can do, especially as a woman of faith, is to do something like, and no judgment here, I've just seen it not really work out very well. Oh my gosh, God's just called me to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to quit my job. And then everything kind of starts going a little bit cuckoo because we didn't have a plan. So I believe like scripture is super clear. God's a God of order. He has a plan. So for us, part of the journey was my husband and I, we went on a journey together. We had to talk about it a lot. And for many years, I was the primary breadwinner or the larger breadwinner. And so there was a certain amount of things that we had to get in order first in order for us to be able to say, Anita can retire early and come home and do some things differently. So we did real practical. We did things like we paid off all our debt. We, you know, reduced our budget, and we basically had a plan so that when it was time for me to leave the corporate space, with that income, we had a path to be able to have some runway, because I think for our marriages, one of the most difficult things we can do is all of a sudden kind of throw our hands up and be like, I'm going to figure it all out. God's going to provide for me. I don't know. My experience is it's not always the way that it works. Like God will give us the vision and he'll walk us step by step, but he also expects us to be good stewards and to do the things that we're called to do. So can you see, Rika, as we take the financial plan and lay on top of that, the skill set that we kind of reimagine and reoffer into the marketplace, those two things together can help you create a transition plan to go from one to the next, instead of having kind of like this sharp thing. It's just really hard on the marriage. It's really hard on the household. It's hard on the relationships closest to you. It's totally hard on you. I know when I've been in places where I felt like I needed clients, ooh, that's a very different conversation. And it's kind of awkward and painful for everybody else and for me. You know, we don't want to be, I would never suggest that somebody kind of put themselves in that position. Now, sometimes it happens and we work around that. I mean, let's be clear. Sometimes it does work out that way and you figure it out, because, you know, sometimes when some of us, the just different personality styles, they'll say, well, when push comes to shove, man, I'm going to figure this out no matter what. So, and that's okay. The other part of that, if you hear what I'm saying, is you're acknowledging that there is a little bit of a framework, but you're also paying attention to what your spouse is saying. You're paying attention to what you're thinking and feeling and hearing from the Holy Spirit yourself. God's in the mix of that. And you're writing out a plan that works for you. You're not just saying, hey, Anita told me to do this. Rika told me to do this. Somebody else online, some other guru out there told me to do this. It's more like, no, I'm listening to the framework, but then I'm also deciding for myself. This is what my family situation is like. This is what my household income and, you know, right? You're taking those things into consideration, then you're making a decision for yourself. I think all of those elements, so that's actually not two, that's three. I think all of those elements are super important for each of us as individuals, because my plan is not always necessarily going to be the exact same plan that you use. And so what do you think? Like what have you experienced as you transitioned from one to the other, one area to the other?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I think that there's a lot of value in what you've just said, because so before I left my full-time job, there was a six-month period before that we had decided, okay, you know, 6 months and then I have to leave, because for me it was because of our daughter. So we have a daughter with autism. And it was becoming really tricky with all her therapy and with so many things going on. She also had a really tough year at school. So for us, it came to like, okay, this is not working anymore. There's this is imbalance in our household. Mom needs to be there. And it needs to be the mom. But I was also the main breadwinner in the family, similar to yours. And it was very, very tough to make that decision, but we knew we had to. The mistake that we made is we didn't come up with a solid plan, literally like you just said. So we knew it was going to happen. We started putting savings aside. So we did it. We kind of did it. It was good to put the savings aside, but we still had the date. So I agree with you on that one. If this is a plan that you know, any one of our listeners want to make today, date is the one thing you don't want to have, because you know, paying off date while you're dipping into your savings, it's like, ugh, it's just not a good idea. Yeah, so I think coming up with that plan is so crucial. And I'm at the point where I'm like you just mentioned, you know, when you're feeling like, okay, I need those clients, because otherwise we're not going to make it through the month. It puts strain on the marriage. And this is literally where, and just I'm always extremely honest with my listeners as well. This is literally where we're at right now. There is a lot of strain in the marriage. And although my husband and I have been together 20 years, it's we're strong, and that's fine because we've had that foundation. But I think if it was earlier in our marriage, we definitely would not have come through it, because it's too stressful. You know, month to living paycheck to paycheck or things like that is just not ideal. And trusting, you know, leaning back and trusting the Lord, although that is it's a good plan, it's not good enough. It's not solid. You know, like, I'm not saying we shouldn't just trust God. That's not what I'm saying at all, because he does want us to lean back and trust him. But like you said, he's also a God of order. He wants us to have that plan. So my challenge has been putting structures in place. You know, if I get a new client, what will that look like? What will that, automations and all those sorts of things? Because I've never been a business owner before. I've now been a business owner for nearly a year. So it's going much better. But it also took me a very long time. I didn't realize it'll take me a year to kind of fully set up the business, to get it going, to kind of, know who I am as an entrepreneur. And, leading myself has always been very easy, but it's also one of the most trickiest things I've now had to do. So if one of the listeners here today wants to come up with that plan or, set up that plan and before they leave, is this something that you can help with? Is this something that you currently do in your business?
It's one of the elements that we talk about in our coaching program, okay. Because it is super important. And so I do a mastermind for successful corporate women of faith in the US that are transitioning over to an entrepreneurial space. And on the way into the program, as part of the application process, we'll actually have that conversation just to be able to get a temperature read of, where is your risk and where's your husband's risk and have you invested before? So it is part of the conversation because it's an important part to be able to have to determine. I want people to be successful. I want their heart's desires to come together. I mean, we've been a homeschooling family for like 15 years already. And I can't tell you, I've talked to hundreds, probably thousands of moms over all of the years that have said to me, Anita, I wish I could homeschool my kids. And so when we, as moms and believers and those that are in the workforce, when we want to be able to intentionally spend more time with our children, I think that's finances are absolutely one of the components that we want to talk about on the way in, what their business idea is, that they can create a knowledge-based business. That's really the area that I focus on. So they can create a consulting business based on something that they're really good at. I call that their specialized knowledge. And then being able to set up a system. Don't you just mention this, Rika, like the process of starting your business and growing your business and getting clients, it's always longer than we think it's going to take. Always takes a little bit longer. And that's actually part of the journey. So embracing and recognizing, one of the things that I'll ask prospective clients is, talk to me about your journey. And I really want to take a temperature read on what their tolerance for the journey actually is, because it is a journey. And when you go from, I've had a team and somebody handles all the tech for me and, on and on and on, all the things. And then you're doing that all yourself before you even have a team yourself, if that's your desire, right? You can absolutely be a solopreneur and you don't have to have any team. You can have a whole bunch of freedom. That's awesome. Right. Or you decide to have a little bit of team along the way, wherever you land on that, that's actually kind of like our next level and some of the things that we do. And so we start talking about, now that we've got the income replaced and kind of the solidness of the business, then what do we do from there? And that's really like building systems and processes and automations and teams and that kind of stuff.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And we will put any of your links where people can find you. We'll talk about that towards the end as well. That'll all be in the description where people can find you. I'm excited for the listeners to connect with you, because I think, if they're anything like me, which, usually if you have your listeners, they're usually a previous version of yourself, then this might be something that they'd be interested in as well. So for those women who are not interested at the moment into moving into entrepreneurship, or it's something that they're thinking about, I mean, for me, I started thinking about it about 5 years prior to actually jumping in. I knew it was God was calling me to do something like that, but I wasn't sure what it looked like or, and then obviously when push came to shove, I just had to jump in and do it. But for those who are currently in their jobs, they're in those leadership roles, they're just looking at bettering themselves, doing lots of professional development, but there's just toxic behavior in their workplaces. Mm. And I mean, you've mentioned as well, those behaviors, in particular females towards females. Mm. What advice would you give them in terms of dealing with toxic workplace or just, those behaviors and getting through their day, basically?
So I had an excellent VP that I reported to many years ago, still a good friend of mine. And he would always tell me, Anita, don't ever leave a job just because of a boss. Because there's a couple of things that are always going to shift, and your boss could definitely be one of them. So I think that's pretty solid advice. I have absolutely worked for some toxic people in my career that are, it's hard. It's definitely hard. So I would do a couple of things. I love to be just real practical and tactical. I'd find a community of like-minded people around you that can offset that toxicity. If it's possible for you to shift, if you're listening to this right now, like, I know she just said, don't ever leave because of a boss. If it's so horrible that it's causing other stressors in the relationships that are most important to you or in your physical health, well, then move. Like, switch roles, switch companies, do something different to be able to shift. Like, that would be the time when I would say, yeah, don't stay there just because, you know, somebody is being, verbally abusive or just awful all the time. Like, that, yes, there are times to be able to do that. The other thing that I would say is that we can spend a lot of time in our mindset focusing on where there might be what's called the gap. So there's an excellent book called The Gap and the Gain. It's by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. And in that, and I love it as a believer. So it essentially talks about anywhere in my life. If I'm looking at it, I'll put it in language that comes from scripture. If I am looking at something in my life, it could be my job, my business, my relationships, my health, whatever, doesn't matter. And I feel like there's some lack in some way. There's not enough. What's happening? Oh my gosh, God, I'm crying out. That is what this book refers to as the gap. And then the flip side of that is the gain. So gain life. So it's two ways of looking at life. One is a mindset that says something's not good enough, and it's not good enough all the time. And you can imagine how this can work its way out in all of your relationships and all areas of your life. And then there's another side of it that's called the gain. That's more like the abundance mindset that says, even though circumstantially, even though in the natural, this is a difficult situation, I have God that's going to be my source of everything. And I always know that there's something good that happens today. I know that even, let me get real practical on this. I know that even if I didn't do the tasks that I was supposed to do today, I know that I still have amazing kids that are my biggest cheerleaders. I know that my husband's going to come home. He's going to kiss me and say, babe, you're amazing. What did you do awesome today? I know that I worked out today. I know that I walked my dogs. I know that, see how I'm starting to just recount a tiny little list. I know that I met somebody new today. I know that so this is gain kind of thinking. And so there's a tiny little mindset shift that at the end of every day, you start jotting down, what are your gains for that day? And you can just take a couple of minutes, just start with like your top three. If you're really, really struggling with life and area, just start with one thing and then try to do another one. Maybe just start with a minimum of three. Maybe the exercise is only 15 minutes before you go to bed. In your journal, write down, this is what is good that's happened today. This is where I've gained. Okay. Then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to determine ahead of time, tomorrow, these are going to be the gains that no matter what, these are the goals that I'm going to set for myself. And in the gain, I'm going to determine for tomorrow what my wins are going to look like. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about identifying the wins each and every day, kind of taking a journal record of those at night, but then determining the next day. Okay, tomorrow, I know that I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and do some Bible study. I'm going to do some exercise. I'm going to pray because then that's getting my mindset ready to go for the day. Then after that, I'm going to go boop, 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 boop. Okay. The thing is, when you write down your goals for the next day, no more than three. So not 15, ladies, like we like to do. You just make it achievable. Then at the end of the day, your gain list can be as long as you want it to be. That's where you can go crazy. But see, when you start that cycle, and that's what the authors talk about, is shifting our mindset away from that gap and towards a gain that says, actually, I used to think that you know, I don't know, my husband was the problem or something like that. And then I realized, actually, he's not the problem. It's my mindset that's the problem. You know what I mean? So it's slowly but surely what it does is it just shifts your mindset and what you're focusing on just a little bit every day. I like to call it like kind of like if you go to the chiropractor and it's like this, the tiniest little chiropractic shift can change your whole, like the rest of your day. All of a sudden, like your neck works and your back works and all that kind of stuff. But think of it too with our mindset is that when we shift just a little bit of just like that, it totally changes the trajectory of where we're going to go. When we accepted Jesus, one little decision totally changes the outcome of our life, right? And so when we start shifting away from that gap thinking and towards the gain thinking, then all of a sudden, life actually starts to change around us because we're focusing on something completely different. So that's just super practical. It's really high level. If you want to read the book, it's a phenomenal read, but read it and implement it. Don't just read it for academic sake, but have it be a tool that you use. This is one thing that I have, I'll be honest, I've practiced it and then I've fallen off practicing it and it totally changes my outlook. And all of a sudden I'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot to log what my wins are every day. Okay, tonight's the night. I'm going to get started on that again. It has been so helpful all the way to super powerful.
That's amazing. And I think what came to mind when you said that is this is totally something that they can do with their teams as well.
It's oh, yes.
Not just something that you can do as a leader, but also with your teams. Because can you imagine the change of dynamic in the team if the team focuses on the gains versus the gaps? Because isn't that just the case? We're always focusing on the gaps.
Yeah. So here, let me add one other thing. As entrepreneurs, we fall into this trap all the time. I set a goal. Let's just say it's a revenue goal. I want to make $100,000. It doesn't really matter what the number is. But if I don't meet the $100,000 of the goal, then I can think in my mind, oh my gosh, I was a failure. No, no, no. What you're doing in the gap and the gain, the other part that he's going to talk about in the book is you're tracking how far, what progress you've made. So instead of saying the only goal is I'm only going to be satisfied, I'm only going to call myself successful, is if I hit the number, hit the goal. No, but look how far you've come. What if in that journey to reach $100,000, whatever that looks like for you, what if you learned how to speak on camera? What if you learned how to show up and serve clients powerfully? What if you learned how to produce a podcast? What if in that process you took on one client, but instead of 10? What, like, see how this type of thinking is I'm tracking the progress that I've actually made instead of focusing on the gap. If in my income, I was going to go all the way to 100,000, but I only made it halfway, then I'm going to think, oh, shoot, I didn't do it. I'm not successful. But instead, boom, but look what I did do. And you're tracking that part of the growth that you have. Like God calls us to be mature. And in that maturity, don't we know that as he's refining us, he's sanctifying us, he's growing, he's maturing us up. God doesn't look at us and be like, oh my gosh, Anita, I really had this in mind for you, but you fell short. God never, never even considers that. He's just like, oh, you're my daughter. You're amazing. As soon as you accepted Jesus, yes. It's all yes. It's all a victory from here. Every other gain that you make, Anita, I'm so proud of you. I was already proud of you. It's not based on your work systems or anything wacky like that. It's just that I already love you. But look at how excited I am. Like, I just think that's how the Father sees us. He looks down at all of us and goes, that's my kids right there. Look at what they're doing. They're going out and doing it. But sometimes as people, we get caught up in the, oh, but it's not enough. And God's like, I mean, I don't know, for me, when I read my Bible, it doesn't say anything like that. He just says, he loves me. He loves me no matter what. And he's super proud of me no matter how I show up and what gets done. But he does call me to walk into things and he does call me to do certain things. But I think if we could see ourselves a little bit more like God does and like be our biggest cheerleaders for ourselves, that would be so powerful.
And I think that's the same in leadership as well, because when we're in that leadership positions, we can quite often fall into that negative headspace very quickly because our teams are giving us a hard time or because we're leading a team and there's this negativity or this toxicity.
And if we can help our teams as well, because I think, a big part of leadership is influence and having that positive influence over our team and just doing something simple as focusing on the gains versus the gaps, because the gaps, like I mentioned before, is where that toxicity comes in, because people are constantly focusing on each other's gaps. And instead of just looking at, okay, but what's the gain of that person? So I absolutely love that. My mind's blown. I think that's a really, that was a great analogy. I love that. I'm going to pop that book, the link in the description below as well for everyone to go and have a look. I've not read that book. So you've just sold me. I'm even going to go and read that book. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's phenomenal. It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I think your perspective on it makes sense, because I think from an experience perspective, you know, we can see that in ourselves as well. And, you know, for me being an entrepreneur now for a year, I can see where I focused a lot on the gaps, because for me, I thought, and this is KPIs for you, hey, in the corporate environment, you think if you focus on the gap, you need to focus on that gap to make those improvements. And that's where your focus is going to be, because you're focusing on those negatives. And what I always say about professional development professional goals is that your team should be setting their own professional goals, because if they're not, they're not going to attain it and they're not going to want to attain it. So focusing on what you want to gain versus just closing the gap the whole time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so valuable. Now, just lastly, is there any like last advice or anything else that you want to share with the listeners, and then share where they can find you?
I always want to encourage everybody, just take one next right step of integrity, whatever that looks like for you. Don't get overwhelmed. There's a lot of free content that's out on the internet about building businesses and being entrepreneurs. There's a lot of amazing people to talk to, but when we overconsume, our minds get overwhelmed and then we get stuck. So don't do that. Just take one right next step of integrity for you, whatever that looks like for you. Whatever your thing is, as you're listening to this right now and pray about it, God, what's my one next step? If I'm in the corporate space and I need to figure out, is there a market for the services that I have to offer? Maybe your next step is you go and talk to some prospects and you take some time to do that. If you know that there's a market, maybe you go and talk to a prospective actual client and not just, hey, I have this idea, but no, I have this service. Maybe start to cultivate a situation where you take on a new client and just test the waters on that. So you're starting to replace that income. That's super important. Like, let's be clear. Our income is absolutely important. God talked about money a lot. He knows it's important to us. If you're stuck in any one way, maybe the thing is you just need to go for a walk and you need to clear your head and pray and figure that out and just ask God, what's my one next step? Because don't get overwhelmed in all the things that are out there. Again, there's amazing people in the online space, but it can be overwhelming to try to keep taking it in as we like scroll through our social feed and all that kind of stuff. And then you kind of feel badly about yourself. And that's not helpful. It's not helpful to you. There is an audience out there that needs you and they're waiting for you. They will only hear your voice. So they won't hear my voice. They won't hear Rika's voice. We could have this similar offerings in our businesses, but they're not tuned to the tone of voice that I have or that Rika has. They're only tuned to your voice. And so get out there and take the steps that it takes to be able to start to build a business. And so you can have time and money freedom and build the business of your dreams. Like, don't try to replicate your corporate job. Just go and take your next one step to be able to build the life that you desire. So if you want to find out more about me, I did write a book last year and published it. It's called a 6-step blueprint, and it is my framework that I walk clients through. So you can have that for free. Gives you all the components of being able to walk through the process of what it looks like to be able to launch a business. We'll make sure to be able to have Rika put that in the show notes. You can find me anywhere on social, Anita Anello. You can go to anitaanello.com or just look up and do a Google search for Anita Anello and then download that free 6-step blueprint to be able to have that as your free gift and just kind of maybe just dip your little pinky toe into the waters of what it looks like to be able to launch a business.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really actually enjoyed our chat today. I love the fact that we can just, as women of faith, come together and talk about God so freely. It's, you know, there's some people out there who unfortunately can't do that. So we're very lucky to be in this space where we can be on YouTube and be on a podcast where we can talk about God so freely. So thank you so much for your time, for being here today, Anita.
You're so welcome. And again, Rika, I just want to honor you and thank you for what you're doing. It's so incredibly important, the way that you show up and serve the community that you serve. It's just absolutely beautiful. So thank you. Keep going.
No, thanks so much for that encouragement. I think it can sometimes be tough to show up consistently, especially as women. We're pulled in so many different directions, but thank you very much for that. And just praise to God for this calling that he has on my life and talking to women of faith in leadership. Many of the listeners will say to me, they've looked for a podcast like this. And it's literally like you just said, my voice is the one that they've been waiting for. But just honor to God. I'm just his instrument and his vessel. So thank you very much. And I hope that you enjoyed the rest of your day, Anita.
Yep, you're so welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If this podcast blessed you in some way, the number one way you can thank me is by leaving a review. Your feedback means the world to me and lights me up every single time when I read it. And it makes me want to keep going. So please leave a review, and your review will also help other Christian women in leadership find the answers they are looking for. So whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, scroll down to the review section and leave that review. Then head over to womenoffaithinleadership.com and join our free Facebook community. And I look forward to engaging with you there.